next on the 5 o'clock report.
We have been threatened online and in person on multiple occasions.
Now we have skyrocketing crime.
Is there nothing that you personally are willing to do to stop the cancer of white supremacy?
Give them the right tools to be able to do what they need to do.
Now, let's go to the newsroom.
Good afternoon and welcome to the broadcast. I'm Tracy Lynn. DHS issuing a notice today warning of a heightened threat environment over the next several months. Correspondent Nicole Spanga.
The Department of Homeland Security is out with a new terrorism bulletin warning that online forums harboring conspiracy theories are encouraging copycat attacks. According to the advisory, online platforms have also seized on the event to attempt to spread disinformation and incite grievances, including claims it was a government-staged event meant to advance gun control measures.
The alert comes on the heels of mass shootings in Buffalo and Uvalde, Texas. Concerns are up over the possibility of individuals, especially 21 and younger, trying to decipher the truth online. Garnell Whitfield Jr.'s mother was among the 10 people shot and killed in the attack at a Tops grocery store in Buffalo last month.
Is there nothing that you personally are willing to do to stop the cancer of white supremacy and the domestic terrorism it inspires?
Whitfield testifying before the Senate Judiciary Committee today. The 18-year-old shooter in Buffalo is a self-described white supremacist who's believed to have detailed his plans online before the attack. More hearings are on tap for tomorrow. Gun rights activist Dana Lash responding to the call for more regulations.
All of this has been designed to reduce deterrence, and now we have a skyrocketing crime that they're now trying to turn around and blame on law-abiding gun owners, and people aren't believing it.
Meanwhile, a bipartisan group of senators is trying to reach a compromise on gun legislation. Correspondent Scott McFarland.
Possible areas of agreement could include helping states enact or improve their red flag laws, which allow courts to seize guns from anyone deemed dangerous.
Canada's prime minister in Colorado Springs today for a scheduled visit to Peterson Space Force Base. Canada's Minister of National Defense and U.S. Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin joining Justin Trudeau. The leaders meeting reportedly to discuss upgrades to the operational control of continental air defenses between the U.S. and Canada. Also on Trudeau's schedule, the Summit of the Americas, hosted by President Biden in Los Angeles. The number of abortion clinics is on the decline.
40 years ago, women seeking to end their pregnancies could have done it at nearly 3,000 locations across the U.S., clinics, hospitals, and doctors' offices included. Today, that number has dropped by about half. A lot fewer hospitals and doctors are doing abortions, and the number of specific clinics has plunged. That's partly because of numerous pro-life laws in a growing number of states that require clinics to meet basic hygiene and safety standards.
That's Michael Harrington reporting. The International Skating Union voting today to raise the minimum age to 17 before the next Winter Olympics in Italy. The change was in the works even before figure skating at the Beijing Olympics put emotional stress on a 15-year-old Russian national champion. Still to come this Tuesday, arson at a pro-life pregnancy clinic in New York, help for Ukraine and PA, and no change to New York's constitution.
Hi, I'm Kevin Williams, and here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. The call for tonight, evening showers and thundery downpours diminishing. Clouds breaking a bit overnight for some patchy fog could form. Low temps 50s to near 60 tomorrow. It'll turn out partly sunny. Could be a stray shower in eastern Pennsylvania. High temperatures 70s. Thursday's cloudy and relatively cool with showers and high temperatures from the mid-60s to the middle 70s.
Thank you, Kevin. Now for more what's happening where you live in New York and Pennsylvania. Arson and vandalism suspected at a Buffalo-area pregnancy clinic.
The FBI is investigating. They have been involved for the last 2 weeks, as well as the Amherst police. We have been threatened online and in person on multiple occasions.
Compass Care Director Jim Harden speaking to News 4.
Where's Governor Hochul's $35 million that she's giving to all the for-profit abortionists for their security? We haven't gotten a single dime for security. Not a single dime.
Destruction has broken out at pregnancy care centers across the nation following the leaked Supreme Court opinion concerning Roe v. Wade. Volunteers in PA teaming up this week with members of the Wilkes-Barre Fire Department to pack boxes of construction-grade respirators for first responders in Ukraine. Ukraine native Ivan Duboni facilitating transport to Poland.
Thank you so much for the help all people in the United States because situation is very bad.
Fire Chief Jay Delaney tells News 16,
we're doing something for the less fortunate in Ukraine by able to give them, especially the emergency service workers, from my personal perspective, to give them the right tools to be able to do what they need to do.
Delaney says those masks will allow rescuers to more safely enter damaged buildings as they search for survivors. Democrats who control every branch of New York state government are scratching their heads after one of their signature bills failed to pass.
Yeah, that's right. The equality amendment to the state constitution would have changed discrimination law to include pregnancy and pregnancy outcomes, as well as gender identity and gender expression. Democrats plan to use the bill to strengthen protections for abortion, but advocates wanted to add protections for religious organizations and businesses, saying, for example, religious employers who don't want to pay for abortions for employees should not be forced to. Governor Hochul has promised to call a special session to try again if the Supreme Court overturns Roe v. Wade. Jeremy Miller, Family Life News.
Thank you, Jeremy. Tonight's debate night for Governor Hochul. It's the first debate for her, but the second for her challengers, Long Island Congressman Tom Suozzi and New York City public advocate Jumaane Williams. Hochul's campaign spokesperson says the governor missed the first square off because she was focusing on legislative issues at the end of the session. Meantime, a second debate is set for June 16th. The gubernatorial debate for Republicans is slated for June 13th, ahead of the June 28th primary. Next at 5, insect expert Brian Eschenower with Cornell Cooperative Extension weighs in on what to do about the gypsy moth caterpillar infestation this year.
Yeah, right now we're seeing those caterpillars, but that's only going to last until the last week of June, and then they'll be entering a pupal state. They'll be in kind of a cocoon, and then they will emerge in mid-July as a moth.
Yeah, and that's when trouble really begins, because then once they become moths, then they go and spread their eggs all around, and we have the same problem again probably next year, right?
Yeah, that's when they can move. However, oftentimes we'll see the population shift to a different area.
Mm-hmm.
After we have a really severe year, often the population crashes in that spot, and so we'll see a shift to a new area.
Yeah. What parts of New York, and maybe if you can, even Pennsylvania, what parts of those states are seeing the biggest infestation right now?
The infestations are through the southern tier and northern Pennsylvania, but they are scattered, so they will be in pockets. And you can travel 20 miles away and you can look at oak trees that have no infestation. So it's just the nature of this insect, but the populations are at levels we haven't seen for several decades.
Yeah. This is a species of insect that's not native to this part of the world, correct?
That's right. This insect is native to Asia, and it was introduced many years ago to be a silkworm.
Do we know how it got here?
Yeah, it was an intentional introduction by somebody who thought that this would be a way to have an alternative to the silkworm that does not survive.
Well, so much for that plan, huh? I see hillsides now where it's completely almost bare with a lot of the oak trees. But it's not just the oak trees. They like other things too, right?
They're pretty opportunistic. The oaks are their favorite. With those trees, however, that look bare right now, those trees will be able to tap into the reserves and put out a second flush of growth, and that will allow those trees to survive.
A lot of people want to know, you know, if how harmful they are. And they can cause skin irritations, and people I've seen get rashes from them, from the caterpillar.
Absolutely.
So that's not fun, but they just leave a mess all over the place on your houses. I got them all over my house. I don't even know what the stuff is they're leaving behind on the house. But aside from that, how much damage, other than, of course, the defoliation thing, how harmful are these critters?
They're a big nuisance to us. You know, they're droppings, which is they're processing the leaves are chewing up, and that's a dropping that's coming out, and it can sound like rain when it's coming down. That's really not harmful to us, but as you mentioned, the hairs can be an irritant, especially for some people who can give a poison ivy-like reaction.
Well, I've tried just about everything, Brian, to contain the infestation. I've got duct tape around my trees. Anything that people recommend, and you hear so many people recommend different things. What works best at this point where we are with this infestation to contain this outbreak?
Yeah, if it's a landscape tree, probably at this point, the best thing you can do is those trunk bands, and this would be with some burlap or similar fabric that's wrapped around, and the flap falls downward. They climb up and get caught in that and can't make it back up to the top of the tree. They kind of go up and down the tree to prevent getting eaten by a predator, and we can take advantage of that. That's probably the best thing that can be done early on in the season. If it's a small tree, we could use insecticide that can be effective on controlling them, but they're so large right now, even traditional pesticides won't be very helpful.
So I heard you on a YouTube video talk about the cycles of these gypsy moth, also known as spongy moth caterpillars. Where are we in that cycle right now, Brian, and is it going to get worse before it gets better?
Yeah, well, it depends because this is very localized. So in general, it is 1 year where it builds up, second year it's very severe, and then the population normally collapses, and in another year or two, we won't be seeing these populations in the areas where they are right now.
That's insect expert Brian Eschenauer with Cornell Cooperative Extension speaking with Family Life's Bob Price. You can catch up on each of the Family Life news features at familylife.org/podcasts. Now time for your market report brought to you by Ambassador Advisors. Here's Family Life's Dave Margolotti.
After opening the day lower, markets working their way into the green today as the session progressed. Retailers were down after Target announced they will see lower profits this quarter as they plan to offer discounts and sales to reduce excess inventory. Oil up again, now just a penny shy of $120 a barrel. Investors keeping their eyes on the consumer price index numbers coming out Friday as they hope to gain some clarity on current inflation rates. The Dow today rose 264 points, the NASDAQ was up 113, and the S&P 500 gained 39. Ambassador Advisors is a Christian financial planning firm helping faithful stewards do more. Online at ambassadoradvisors.com.
Thank you, Dave. You're listening to the 5 o'clock report on Family Life.
A man saw a simple two-word message on a lapel pin that really made him think. It read, "Try God." Hi, I'm Rob West with your MoneyWise Minute. Now, we know you can't try God like a piece of clothing you might return if you don't like it. But in Malachi 3:10, God tells us to try him or test him when it comes to giving to his kingdom. It reads, "Test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows." When we give to the Lord's work with the right motives, God will pour out blessings for us, certainly not always financial, but in ways we cannot imagine until they overflow. Don't believe it? See for yourself. Try God with your finances. Get biblical answers to your financial questions in the MoneyWise community. Download MoneyWise Biblical Finance in your app store or visit moneywise.org.
Hi, I'm Kevin Williams, and here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. A cold front that brought showers and some isolated thunderstorms today will push east of the area tonight, taking those showers with it. The call for tonight evening showers and thundery downpours diminishing. Clouds breaking a bit overnight for some patchy fog could form. Low temps 50s to near 60. Tomorrow, it'll turn out partly sunny. Could be a stray shower in eastern Pennsylvania. High temperatures 70s. Thursday's cloudy and relatively cool with showers and high temperatures from the mid-60s. To the middle 70s.
Thank you, Kevin. Finally at 5.
Its name of origin is Theobroma, food of the gods, but we know it as chocolate.
And for many of us, this time of year, the best way to get your chocolate fix is with chocolate ice cream. Today's Chocolate Ice Cream Day. The first recorded recipe for chocolate ice cream dates back to 1693 in Italy and was one of the first ice cream flavors, even predating vanilla. An Italian doctor at the time wrote a paper extolling the virtues of chocolate ice cream as a treatment for gout and scurvy. The treat became an American dessert staple in the late 19th century, but was originally a treat for elites until more widespread ice houses brought the cost down for the rest of us. Despite its widespread popularity, to this day it remains the second most popular ice cream flavor in America, behind simple vanilla. And that's the world we live in this 7th of June. Thanks for coming along. I'm Tracy Lynn, Family Life News.